The human brain can both adapt and heal itself. Can this healing be accelerated without brain surgery? Using stimulation, of all places, to the tongue can result apparently in incredible changes to brain functions. Can this technology help rewire the brain of those with disorders like multiple sclerosis and cerebral palsy? That's the topic today on Mind Matters.
Welcome to Mind Matters News, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
I have a good friend that suffers from epilepsy. To attempt a cure, surgeons cut a flap out of his skull and placed a sheet of sensors directly on his brain. Then my friend was told to try to have a seizure so that data could be collected. The interesting thing is he spends his life trying not to have seizures, and then all of a sudden his brain is cut open. They put this array of sensors right on his brain, and the doctors say, try to have a seizure. That's what they call an invasive procedure, exploration with the brain using brain surgery. There are other less severe ways to rewire the brain. Those suffering from PTSD or addiction are given mental exercises to help rewire their brains. This is the extreme of non-invasive therapy. In between is the portable neuromodulation stimulator, or the PONS, P-O-N-S. It's being developed at Helios Medical Technologies. And a friend pointed me to some videos about the technology, and I wanted to learn more. The PONS is placed on the tongue and supplies mild electrical stimulation to the patient to accelerate brain adaptation. The videos that I saw are simply incredible. In fact, we'll try to provide a link to some of these videos on the page where we host Mind Matters. Our guest today is Dr. Jonathan Sackier, MD. He is the Chief Medical Officer at Helios Medical Technologies Incorporated. Thank you, Jonathan, for joining us again.
Thank you very much for having me, Robert.
Could you describe the PONS, the Portable Neuromodulation Stimulator?
Yes, certainly. First of all, the name is a double entendre. It's a pun on the fact that the part of the brain that we are hitting with the electrical energy is called the pons veroliae, the bridge of veroliae. So,
where is that located in the brain?
It's in the hindbrain. It's sort of in front of the cerebellum. The cerebellum is the sort of balance central, the coordination center of your brain. So, the idea of using neuromodulation, external energy, to induce or encourage the brain to rewire itself, the concept of neuroplasticity, if you will, that's been around for a long time. Electroconvulsive therapy, implanted electrodes to treat Parkinson's, epilepsy, so on and so forth, and in the spine to treat back pain. That's been around for a fair amount of time. But people have started looking at external, non-invasive means of inducing a neuroplastic response. We chose the tongue. Now, in fairness, I should say we. I really mean the inventors of this technology who came out of the University of Wisconsin, the late Dr. Paul Baccarita and his collaborators. They chose the tongue for a number of reasons. Number one, the tongue has the richest nerve supply of anywhere in the body. Sometimes that gets a snicker from people, but it's true.
You mean there's more nerves per square inch on the tongue than anywhere else in the body?
Than anywhere else. Wow. And if you look at the imprint of the tongue on the brain, it occupies a big area. So the brain clearly thinks the tongue is important. And in fact, if you think about it, as I'm speaking to you now, my tongue is waggling around in my mouth and it's avoiding getting bitten by my teeth. It happens rarely, right? Yes. It also has immense sensitivity. You know what it's like if you have a poppy seed stuck between your teeth? It feels like a boulder. Right?
Yes.
So the tongue is amazingly sensitive. And in fact, when we're developing as a fetus, the tongue grows off the front of the brain. And as it does, it, if you will, pulls nerves with it. And there are 12 nerves in the body called the cranial nerves. These are nerves that do not travel through the spinal cord. Four of the 12 innervate the tongue. And one of them is called the trigeminal nerve. And that turns out to be a very, very interesting and important nerve because it mediates the diving reflex. And the diving reflex allows dolphins, whales, porpoises, and other diving mammals to adapt their physiology to changing atmospheric pressure. Human beings also have a diving reflex, but it tends to regress from 6 months old, unless, of course, you're a diving nomad from Indonesia.
Okay.
And that reflex, we believe, may play a role in the effect we're having, delivering energy via the tongue into the brain and joining it together with physical therapy to induce a change in the brain. One thing I have to say, it's important to do so. The PoNS is currently an investigational medical device in the United States, Europe, and Australia. It has been cleared by Health Canada as being used there to treat patients. So it was important I say that.
Okay. You know, the PoNS videos I saw, I think they were done at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, as you mentioned.
Yes.
This was in the early development of PoNS.
Yes.
And the application were to people who had lost their balance, people with challenges to motor control. And the results were just incredible. What is happening there? Is this is a special case of what you just described?
Yes. So I just want to be very clear that the work that was done at the University of Wisconsin at the Neurorehabilitation Laboratory, that was before Helios Medical Technologies licensed in the intellectual property. So we do not claim any authorship of those videos. And quite frankly, I'm a little bit cautious about showing videos. I would rather show data. I would rather show people data, hard data, that, you know, we take patients with a profound chronic balance disorder as a result of a traumatic brain injury, and a balance disorder that has undergone state-of-the-art sort of gold label physical therapy. They've got as well as they can get with physical therapy, yet they still have a balance disorder. And of those people, you know, the literature will tell you an 8-point gain on a 100-point scale that we use to evaluate balance. They'll tell you that an 8-point gain is statistically significant. Well, if you use that metric, then 80% of people we treated had that gain. About 67% had a 15-point gain, which is greater than is ever recorded in physical therapy literature. And this is in a group of people who've already had physical therapy. And somewhere around 52% of people at the end of the treatment session, which is between 5 and 14 weeks, 52-53% are in the normal range. Their balance has been ameliorated.
That's what I saw in the videos.
Yeah.
Which was just astonishing. So PoNS can be applied to motor control. Motor disorders are symptoms of multiple sclerosis and cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. The non-invasive PoNS is a lot milder than brain implants used to assist those in MS. I guess there's a more conventional, old-school way of helping MS patients with brain surgery. Is that right?
Well, you know, multiple sclerosis is a chronic condition that has a very wide array of presentations. And it's very often treated symptomatically with medications and drugs called immune modulators. A number of procedures have been proposed over the years, including putting stents in the veins in the neck. Unfortunately, that did not pan out to be helpful.
Well, it sounds painful.
It's a minimally invasive procedure, but unfortunately, the clinical trials were not successful. It did hold some promise. It's called the Zamboni procedure.
Zamboni, now that's the thing that
they use on the ice. No. This is a different Zamboni. This was an Italian doctor. Yeah, an Italian doctor. I don't know if he's got anything to do with the Zamboni device. But what we've been doing in a couple of clinical trials that have been published, we took patients with multiple sclerosis who had a balance and gait disorder, and we used the PoNS device, the portable neuromodulation stimulator. Again, it's an investigational medical device, and we used it in the format of an institutional review board, ethically approved clinical trial. And we showed that if you combine it with physical therapy, we could improve balance and gait in these patients. And furthermore, we could show changes on MRI, on functional MRI, that demonstrated that there were changes in the brains of these people as a direct and proximate result of this combination of physical therapy and neuromodulation. So it holds promise, and it's something that we are exploring further.
So this is ongoing research.
Yes, it is.
Now, I was thinking of multiple sclerosis and cerebral palsy, and some of the advanced stages. I know a lady I go to church with that's confined to a wheelchair with, I believe it's multiple sclerosis. And I believe that anything that would get up and that would allow her to get up and walk is probably impossible. So it seems to me that it probably wouldn't work in cases of advanced multiple sclerosis. Is that true?
It's a great question. We don't know the answer to that. We do know we're doing some work in Russia with a wonderful, wonderful neurologist in St. Petersburg for children with cerebral palsy. And we're taking young kids with cerebral palsy and combining physical therapy, which previously has been shown to have minimal effects, combining it with our neuromodulation techniques, and really showing some fascinating results, which will be the result of an upcoming scientific publication. But the truth of the matter is, this is a young field, and the appropriate approach. Look, I'm a clinician. For many years, I was a practicing surgeon, and I looked after people. And I always like to say, we put the patients at the center of everything we do, because sooner or later, we're all patients. I am highly enthusiastic and very excited about what PONS represents, but it's critically important not to be hyperbolic, because people who've got neurologic disease are vulnerable. You know, they don't just have the disease, they have the dis-ease of having to live life in a wheelchair, having to be reliant on other people for caregiving, and that creates emotional distress. So we have a profound obligation to be honest, open, transparent, and to do darn good science. And that's what we're trying very, very hard to do.
That's great. I know the PONS helps motor control with stimulation. At least I got this from the videos again. And the stimulation was applied as the patient attempted to walk. And so there seems to be a connection between the patient trying to better themselves and the PONS stimulation. And I was talking to a friend of mine who has a son that has autism. Mm-hmm. And he goes through different exercises with his son. He'll give him puzzles to do. The autism is actually pretty severe. And I know you probably can't speak authoritatively on this as a representative, Helius, but do you think that stimulation of the tongue could help people with autism and more severe mental disorders?
Yes, look, there is a body of thought that, and first of all, let me state that we have not done any work in autism as of yet. Two of the physicians who are affiliated with with Helius as in an advisory or a research capacity have children with autism. And they are both highly respected, very, very prominent physicians. And both of them are really, really pushing us to do work in autism. But we're a small company. Research is extremely expensive. We would love to do it, but you can only do so much on any given day. There's a body of belief that autism is representative of some kind of brain injury that happens whilst the baby is in the uterus, and that there's some proteins that are found in the brain that are similar to proteins found in traumatic brain injury. So there are people who believe that maybe neuromodulation can help. Look, the truth of the matter, again, to state this, is we have an obligation to do good science, to find out where this technology is most helpful, and quite frankly, where it isn't helpful, because that's important.
What about milder cases? It seems this would be a straightforward application. I'm thinking of stimulation of a patient going through mental exercises to treat something like PTSD or an addiction.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to be, say I don't know, but I think sometimes it's important to say I don't know. I can tell you that, yes, addiction is on our radar screen. For a number of reasons. PTSD, we've already announced that we are doing a study in combination with Fort Sam Houston, Colonel Valerie Rice down at Fort Sam Houston, and that study has recently started, looking at mindfulness-based stress reduction for troop readiness, and that's in process. So again, it's a growing field, it's an early field, and there's a lot to still discover.
You mentioned, let's see, Fort Sam Houston. I believe you mentioned Russia. Mm-hmm. I also heard that you were doing research in my backyard at Baylor Scott and White.
Yes.
You have a number of programs going on testing this at different facilities.
Yes.
Could you tell us about that? How many facilities and what's going on at these facilities to test the ponds?
Sure. So we are very privileged to be, look, you're judged by the company you keep. And we have gone out of our way to make sure that we are collaborating with top institutions, and to work with Baylor is a great pleasure. We've talked to them over the years about a number of things. They're currently participating in something we call the Clinical Experience Program, which gives, we've just done two very large trials in traumatic brain injury, but we're also now bringing it to a broader audience to get other input so that we can see quite what therapeutic regime is the best for patients out in the real world, not in the highly rarefied air of clinical trials. And yes, we're collaborating with Baylor and thrilled to be doing so. We also have a collaboration in Australia with Royal Melbourne Hospital.
And what are you doing there?
We've done work in stroke rehabilitation. There's been a
stroke.
Yeah, okay. Taking patients who've had a stroke and have a balance and gait disorder. Now, lest this sounds like this thing does everything, we're treating a symptom. We were taking patients who have balance and gait problems as a direct and proximate result of their stroke. So we're treating that with the PONS. We also took patients, we're taking patients with diseases of the cerebellum, the part of the brain that controls balance, and we're treating them to improve their balance and their gait. In Russia, we're treating patients with cerebral palsy under a clinical trial protocol to help them with their balance and gait. And also, there's a manuscript, I think it's just been published. Yes, it was. It was tail end of 2018. In 64 patients who'd had a specific kind of tumor removed called an acoustic neuroma or a giant schwannoma. This is a tumor that affects the nerve that comes that supplies the ear, the balanced part of the ear. And if you have a tumor there, it causes problems with hearing, tinnitus, in the ears, altered sensation around the ear, and balance problems. And there's very little you can do for these patients. So these very smart surgeons there decided to try using the PONS, and they published their data, and their data are very encouraging. And then we have collaborations in Canada, both in Montreal and Vancouver, and across the United States. We've announced a collaboration with the Northwell Health System in New York, Ohio State University, Oregon Health Sciences University, the Kessler Rehabilitation Facilities in New Jersey, and of course, last but most certainly not least, Baylor.
Wonderful. I have one last question for you. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I have an addiction to binge watching Netflix that I want to cure. Where can I buy a PONS?
Well, you can't buy a PONS. The PONS is currently in the United States. It's an investigational medical device. It will be a prescription device should FDA clear it, and it will be prescribed by a physician. The label on the tin, if you will, as we say in England, will be for the amelioration of a balance disorder as a result of a mild to moderate traumatic brain injury. My suggestion is if you have an addiction to Netflix, cancel your subscription. Or why? It's very pleasurable.
I don't know if I can go cold turkey,
Then so stay we'll at see. It. There are a lot worse things in the world.
I guess so. Thank you very much. Our guest has been Dr. Jonathan Sackier. He's the Chief Medical Officer at Helios Medical Technology. We've been talking about our incredible brains and the device which they are developing now called the PONS, which is really hopefully going to help people in terms of rehabilitation of brain problems. Thank you, sir, for your time.
Thank you very much.
This has been Mind Matters. Until next time, be a good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters News with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.ai. That's mindmatters.ai. Mind Matters News is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters News is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.